This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. In March, I hosted a panel at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood called Me Too in Sex Positive Communities. Today's episode is part three, the final portion of the three-part discussion. Let me first introduce my panelists. Smokey is an out and proud kinky queer of color who's on a mission to cultivate a community for like-minded individuals. She is a founding member of the new Los Angeles-based play party Obsidian, a group for queer people of color and those who support that community. She is an LA native by way of the Midwest who has been exploring kink and sex education for almost 10 years. Jamila M. Dawson, LMFT, is a kinky, polyamorous, queer sex therapist, activist, and educator. She focuses on helping people in the kink, polyamorous, and swinger communities to enhance their relationships. She supports people to move beyond sexual challenges and provides coaching for change makers seeking to integrate the personal and the professional. Her work is grounded in interpersonal neurobiology, sex positivity, liberation psychology, and the politics of pleasure. Pony Lee is the founder and owner of LA's first all-queer barbershop. Folklore Salon sits in the heart of Echo Park and provides safe space to folks of all gender expressions since 2011. As a transgender person currently serving as a board member of Dyke Day LA, it is Pony's vision to bring the fundamentals of safe, sane, consensual BDSM practices to dykes of all representations. Through Dyke Day LA, Pony facilitates space for workshops and events where the intersection of queer identities and BDSM are viable. Pony has been involved in the kink community and has been a leather enthusiast for over 10 years. So we join this third and final part of the conversation, which we taped in front of a live audience at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, talking about how to build community, how to communicate values within communities, and how to support each other. We pick up with a response to an audience question, so I want to start by replaying the question for you. After the panelists all responded, which was on the previous episode, I chimed in with my response.
I find that the kink community's got big blinders on, like huge blinders, and you're all amazing and you're all in the kink community. And wondering if you feel that way, because I see people that, when I got in 20 years ago, are still being elevated. And they're being elevated for horrible behavior. Mm. And they end up playing with people that are new. Mm. And it's almost predatory.
Mm. Yeah.
And I watch that, and it's really hard, because you try and educate. I try and help the young people, the new people, understand, like, hey, you don't have to tolerate that kind of behavior. And it's sad, mm-hmm. because you go to them, and then when the other person finds out, like, what are you doing? Well, hey, don't be an asshole, and won't have to. But they're elevated, so people all go, oh, well, no, they know what they're doing. I'm like, be an asshole doesn't mean you know what you're doing or doesn't know what you're doing. You're still an asshole. So to me, I mean, how do we get past this blinders thing? Like, how do we hold people accountable? Like Aaron's saying, we have to figure out how to do it, but the people that were in 20 years ago that were community, I don't want to say community leaders, because I really hate that. Really drives me crazy. Prominent people, maybe?
Yeah.
You said prominent. how do we get rid of the prominent people that are terrible, that are really causing harm towards the newer people that, like you're saying, they're amazing, but now they stepped away or they're gone because some person took advantage of them or violated them. And of course, well, they didn't say anything and we didn't talk about it. I'm like, right, but if you know what you're doing, you have to have that discussion and a negotiation about what you should know to consent. Like if you're new and you don't know anything about negotiation and someone you're playing with is very well known, they go, oh, well, they didn't say anything, so I guess I'm not consent violating them.
Two things. One is that I think that we can identify patterns of predatory behavior. So for example, someone who has been in the scene for a really long time and only plays with brand new people mm-hmm. is a red flag.
Red right. flag.
That is yeah. absolutely yes, a yeah. red flag. Because the truth is, like, I mean, it's really hard to play with someone new because they don't know their boundaries or they've like made their yes, no, maybe list. And then like, you know, they get into subspace and everything changes. I mean, I just feel like that kind of dynamic is ripe for coercion and for exploitation, mm-hmm. right? That there's always someone with more power. And if that person is a presenter or their name is in the program, the person, the newbie coming in is not gonna be able to speak up. Right? So I feel like you can identify people if all they want to do is play with new people, inexperienced people, people who like just arrived, that's predatory behavior. And I think that you could you could stop that in whatever way you felt comfortable. Like you could confront that person or you could say to other people like, why are we continuing to hire this person mm-hmm. and put their name out there? So the other thing is like as an event organizer, I organized an event for 10 years called Dark Odyssey, which was kind of a mix of straight, queer, kinky, polyamorous, swingers, sex positive people. It was like a big mixture. And so one of the things that we talked about early on was that like we were bringing people from different communities who all had different etiquette mm-hmm. and protocol kind of embedded in their communities. And then we're asking them to come to this place and like, for shit not to go sideways, right? So here, so how's that gonna happen? And I was like, okay, so what we have to do is we have to set the values of this community and then communicate them. So one of the things we did was we didn't force people to come to orientation, but we incentivized orientation. Basically, there was this whole thing that developed within Dark Odyssey that involved these pins and trading these pins, and the pins were $5, and we were like, we'll give you the pins if you come to the event. So we were like paying people to come to orientation. Okay, fine. And also, every single presenter and every single person on staff and every single person like at upper management had to go to orientation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was no exceptions. There was no like, you're opting out because you're so-and-so. So that's one thing, right? Like there are ways to top-down model this where you say, these are our policies. And then I think if you can convey your values as an organization, as a party, as a group, what you have to do is convey the values to everyone and then everyone can be held accountable, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? So if you didn't pay attention in the class, well then you missed how this event is consent-driven and you missed our zero tolerance policy and you missed that like, you miss that, but actually it's in the program, it's on the website, and I said it to you out loud. And making it known that like this is not a space where you can fuck up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not a space where you can be a little bit loose with the rules. Mm-hmm. This is, if you make it known that this is a space where we are gonna hold you to this particular standard, that will weed out some people mm-hmm. who are like, that's too much for me.
That's what you're signing up for.
That sounds like a lot, and I don't want the hassle. You know, if someone doesn't want the hassle of your event, great. They have opted out for you. You didn't even have to kick them out. They just didn't show up. So I feel like you can do a sort of top-down thing, which is these are our values and we're going to hold them to it. We're going to hold you to it. And this is what's going to happen if you're not in line with practicing our values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More organizations like that.
Yeah. I feel very passionate about that.
Hello. My name's Claire. I've met some of you, but maybe don't know the rest of you. But so I think that having all of these pieces come together before something actually happens, and I know that things are happening all the time, but creating the intention, creating the space, and then having all of the right or the pieces in place in before something happens to be ready for it, right? So having leadership, to use the term loosely, leadership that's trauma informed, leadership that's informed about different systems of oppression, right? Different things that happen, you know, where people are coming from, both from the oppressor side and the oppressed side, right? And just being, having the language in place and having the people in place who are informed about these types of conversations, who have had them before, who are experienced in them, and are experienced in knowing their own boundaries and how much they have to give at any given time, when they need to step back, when they aren't objective enough or a specific situation, like when they're getting triggered, be like, you know what, I'm not the person for this one. And then having the critical mass of people who are able to do that so that when one person steps back or two people step back, it doesn't all fall apart. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the whole community, like building person by person, taking care of each person as they come in, mm-hmm. Holding space for them to step back if they need to and then come back, you know, and just taking care of people. I think both of you two of you said something about we all fall together or we all rise together. Mm-hmm. And that kind of mentality in terms of kink, I think in the subcultures of kink, in the queer community and in the people of color community, I think that's already in place. But in the larger kink community, you have like this mishmash of people that don't, like, it's the opposite, right? Yes. Yeah. It's very individualistic and you have all of those, right? And so creating this core of people who are then the people that have the power in these clubs and in these groups that are part of the leadership, right? Centering those people, centering that type of culture, mm-hmm. that is where, like, and I feel like we have all of the pieces. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. And we'll mess up, but we'll still get there in some ways and we'll mess up in other ways and it'll be something. Yeah, and Jamila, I think, was really powerful. What you said was that the kink community and S&M has the DNA to not only heal itself, but heal outside of itself. And I think that that's a really powerful thing for me in terms of watching the Me Too community. And I'm like, wait a minute. We've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe not we. I've had these conversations, right? Let me share this. So, yeah. That's my thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You think, is, I wonder if it's like establishing forms of counsel, trusted counsel within the groups. And some people do have those form of like counsels within the group, within their own groups, or leather family or kink family.
Or elders,
especially elders.
Oh, we're going to get into the leather elders thing.
The leather elders. Or elders, but you know.
We have to petition the elders.
Right? Because there's a certain degree that like only age can really sort out, like mm-hmm. age and experience can sort out in a way that like experience or age can, right? Mm-hmm. So like something that's both, so I guess elders would be it. But I think like trusting a council, but this is the first time that Me Too we need to talk about these things.
Right.
And how do we talk about these things within that council?
Mm-hmm.
And rehabilitate and then keep that, you know, that moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I think something I want to do, like, I don't have, I want something better and sexier than accountability pod. You know, I want, like, my yummy pod, my like dolphin pod. I don't know, I'll have to think about that. But I need people that, you know, that's my favorite word. But I need people where I can go to, you know, like with, when this whole thing with Reed happened, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Like, I should have somebody to talk to. So I'm gonna just commit to like finding two or three people. I'm like, will you be part of my dolphin pack? Or something, like people that I can come to. So that's something that I want to do now.
Your cream
crop. It's an important resource to have.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> You want to be part of my cream crop? This could go off this. And after coffee. No,
guys, we're trying to be serious.
sorry. That was my fault. I went
you started it.
I did. I totally did. Yeah.
Let's take a break as we all ponder who might be in our accountability pods or dolphin packs or whatever you want to call them. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink-competent, sex-positive, queer-affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Before the break, Jamila came up with the idea of having our own support pods who can help us with accountability. Let's take a listen.
If you have your own accountability pod, let's just call it that for now, you operate in the world in a different way because you have people who are like, will take you aside and say, because I definitely have this, you know, who will say like that, you got to let that go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fight that you're not going to tweet about it and you're just going to let it go. And you know, like you
have to trust.
Yes.
That you said that
exactly.
To me.
Like these right, people, that, I have to trust that these people
that
are like, listen, from, you know, we need to tell you a hard truth here.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard truth is, yeah. So I think if we all had like those pods of people in our lives,
right.
We all might also hold ourselves accountable in different ways.
Right, yeah. A possibility. I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid that you're going to shame me. I know that I'm still loved and cared about and human and connected.
That's vulnerability in a different way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like in the rawest sense, really.
Right, if you see me, yeah.
When you're new and you come to one of these groups, go to a dungeon, doesn't anybody tell you as a newcomer, if you have any trouble, if you have any issues, this is a designated person to go to? That doesn't happen at all?
It depends on the, like, threshold is, like, my home dungeon. And part of the orientation, everybody has to do orientation. And so they have dungeon monitors. So if you see something that doesn't seem safe to you or something is wrong, you're instructed to go talk to a dungeon monitor. That doesn't mean that things don't happen. That doesn't mean that DMs don't make mistakes. But at that particular dungeon, they have dungeon monitors that help that. Mm-hmm. At other events that I've been to, where like they're new, or maybe they don't have DMs yet, or I've been to, there's an event I go to that's amazing, and we don't have DMs there. Like, it's, like, we're assuming everybody here can negotiate and hold their line. And so there's a sense of, like, if something goes wrong, you'll talk to the people who run it, or you'll talk to that person directly about, hey, that seemed to not feel right to me. But that there's the assumption that you'll figure it out. Those are the
things. Does a dungeon monitor actually walk around
and they're like identified in some way, like they're right. armed, have a sash yellow vest or something. Right.
Most dungeons should have several, especially
right. Big ones will have that.
Yeah, one in each room or something.
My experience, though, when I was just starting out with dungeon monitors, was that I had, as someone who completely didn't know anything at the time, I thought that if something was to go wrong, that the dungeon monitor would like jump in to save the day, more so than like I needed to like go and find that person and be like, he touched me. Like it's a big difference. And I had that thought about it. And so I guess I figured since nobody had come to say otherwise, then nothing wrong had happened.
Ooh.
Which is a hard feeling.
Yeah.
Because, dungeon monitors are sort of trained to not interrupt scenes unless some rule is being broken they're seeing something unsafe or they're seeing something dangerous.
But I don't know that anyone had, gone through
because that. Because that's a very specific nuance.
That is a very,
To speak on that, see, the other problem is that if you have an established dungeon and everybody knows the DMs, the players that potentially are causing issue get overlooked. Yeah. And I've seen that a fair amount of times. And I go, and I've gone to head of dungeons and said, hey, look, this is going on. And they go, oh, no, they know what they're doing. And I think that's where the kink community is very interesting, because we do have this professional grouping with the lifestylers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently the professionals are supposed to really know what they're doing. Did I do that with a funny look on my face?
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of the times they don't. Mm-hmm. And the DM goes, oh, no, they know what they're doing. They're a professional. And I'm like, they're a professional what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
I mean, let's face it. You can be a professional anything if you call yourself that. So,
especially in LA.
You know, and that's it. Right. And it's terrifying, though, to watch something. Imagine if you're a new player, right? You go to a dungeon and you see something and you go, I don't understand this. Why didn't this get stopped? This person is yelling, screaming, no red, whatever, and no one comes to their aid. And the person's going, well, I don't want to be a part of this. And it freaks them out and they leave. Mm-hmm. Right. And still, that person has never held our favorite word accountable. Mm-hmm. And there's a giant consent violation. But, but they know better because they're whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. So. Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Praise. Thank you all for sharing. It's been really informative for me to like sit and listen. But I had a question around sort of concrete ways of practicing some of the things that we've been talking about. And I know that a lot of this conversation is sort of, there are no easy answers, but I'm wondering if there are some practices that can be put into play, especially around substances and consent. I know that can be like a super tricky area for folks when you've been like drinking or you're high or whatever the case may be. So I'm wondering if there are ways for practicing like consent when substances have been involved and or like either when substances are involved or in a separate situation, when someone might recognize that like their traumas were triggered during the event. Like are there practices or like words that you have that you think that are good ways to sort of express ways for dealing like with your boundaries in those situations? Does that make sense? Okay.
Okay, there's two things here. Let's start with just... Great.
Yes.
Really good questions.
Great questions.
Okay, so let's start with substances and how that plays into consent, if there should be policies in place about the use of substances, because we know, of course, it affects judgment and awareness and ability to communicate and we know that substances alter all those things.
Mm-hmm. And that could be medication. I just wanted to clear that the air
right.
for that too. That could be like new medication that's prescribed, not necessarily like marijuana or anything like
right.
that. That could be medication. It could be like an aspirin if you're doing blood play. I mean, these are
right.
we all go down like to any substances to like any substances that should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Question, you know? I'm sorry.
No, I want to hear what you think, because I think it's an interesting thing. This is I've definitely been to play spaces where there's no alcohol or pot allowed, like, and that's just like that's done. And then I've been to other places where they're like a little bit more lax about it. And then I've been in, quite frankly, swinger spaces where the alcohol is flowing like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, you know, since I was 20. And it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous to be around a lot of drunk people in a space where it's also very sexually charged.
Mm-hmm.
So my preference is to be in a space where it's like low or no drinking.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's a personal preference as like a space I want to go play in.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean,
go ahead.
A place that, so I like low tolerance or no tolerance places. If you're coming into the kink scene or really I think any alternative scene, get to know your limits around alcohol. I personally will not bottom or top to anybody who is high on a narcotic or alcohol. Like that is my like strict rule. Like you cannot play with this valuable real estate if you're not sober enough to understand how valuable this real estate is. And then as a bottom, also like you want to be able to feel what's happening. So why would you want anything to interfere with that? And if you need to be on an antihistamine, then maybe that's not the right night to play, you know, until you're feeling better or like the season is over, or you stick with something that's relatively low risk. So those are ways to kind of mitigate it. In terms of the trauma piece, because let's be real, our trauma, like sometimes we play with our trauma and other times our trauma comes to visit and we didn't recognize.
Yeah.
It was like, you can usually tell, like, if somebody, if you try to, like, make eye contact with them and they can't really make eye contact with you, if they're sometimes avoiding eye contact with you, if they sound frightened and that's not kind of part of the scene, like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. It's not, like, if their voice goes kind of high, if it goes babyish, if they're not able to kind of, like, say, no, I'm fine, or yes, I'm fine, that can be an indication of it. If they go regressive, what else? Regressive, just going into like a young state. It doesn't necessarily mean like a personality is coming out or anything ridiculous like that, but they seem younger than they actually are. Their voice is higher or more babyish. Those can be kind of indications. And here's the thing, all of us, like our bodies are designed to pick up on data all the time. You can kind of tell when somebody doesn't seem quite right. Like either in an aggressive way or in they seem not okay. And if somebody does not seem okay, and you like, even if they're like, I'm fine, it's okay to call the scene. It's okay to call the scene as a bottom. It's okay to call the scene as a top. If something does not feel right to you, trust that.
I had a situation last night where I was at a play party and I had, I had been spanking a couple people. I'd been topping a couple people and towards the end of the night, someone I had seen at several parties and, you know, in the community was like, hey, you want to play? And at that time, I already started to wind down and I actually had a glass of wine. And I looked at him, I was like, you know, I want to table, you know, we should table this conversation because I feel like you kind of caught me at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And although I've seen you and, you know, you're a hard bottom and that's my flavor, I was like, I want to honor myself and honor you to having a full experience of me as well,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like, I was like, should I have to, I mean, it was only one drink. I really talked myself into this, like, it was just one drink. I mean, you could have totally, but I was like, no, because then my energy level would have gone back up and then, you know.
Smart.
Yeah.
But you knew your limits, you had a conversation.
I had a conversation with myself.
Yes.
And that
yes.
person.
This is the kind of person you want to play with who's like, oh, I could like you probably, and it probably would have been fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, I'm not quite where I would like to be.
Yeah, and so I've known them through the community. I'm like, but I've never played with you, and I want to make sure it's right.
There you go. You want to make a good first impression.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to give them everything.
We are at our second commercial break already. Coming up, we talk about play parties and how to access community as a new person. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We continue the talk about what happens in a dungeon or at a play party, and what if you see something that disturbs you or you don't like. Let's listen in.
Two things come to mind about trauma responses. One is that I really appreciate when organizers make space for like a quiet room or an aftercare room. I've never seen that unused. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that just be like dead space. People use that room for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes just to go and be quiet and not talk and get away from stuff. So I feel like having a separate space where if you get overloaded in some way, you can remove yourself, but you don't have to like leave the party, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like we need to constantly give ourselves and also new people permission to see things that make them really uncomfortable and to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like sometimes there's this sort of posturing, which is that like if someone brings out the tarps and the knives, mm-hmm. you know, people like they're like, I'm gonna sit in the front row because mm-hmm. I'm like badass and I love blood play and I'm gonna watch the shit go down, right? Yeah. And so there's like a little posturing about that, and it's like, okay, listen, anything at any time can like trigger anyone, mm-hmm. right? And I have certainly, I've been in a million spaces and I've certainly seen things where I was like, I have to go. Mm-hmm. And that's totally okay, but like, I have to go. Mm-hmm. Because I just saw something and they're totally, this is consensual and I'm giving these people the benefit of the doubt, but this is giving me like a bad vibe or triggering something in me. So instead of being like, I need to call the DM, my first question is, do I just need to walk away from this? Because mm-hmm. this is something that like I don't want to see. You know, so I think we need to check in with people and also give other people permission to just to not watch, to not feel like you're in the space and so you can't walk out of the space.
Hi, thanks for pulling this together. Very educational as always. I'm glad to hear people report that people are screwing up left and right and that it's a common thing. So that's good that everybody pretty much is fallible. You were mentioning earlier that like the elders, sometimes people just get a waiver because, oh, they've been doing this forever. They know what they're doing. So in the Bay Area, I was a DM in a number of things. And what I find in groups, kinky or not, is frequently it's hard to get into the group. If you show up and no one knows you and you say, well, I was the head of thermonuclear research, you know, at that, you know, for the military, you know, and I want to come talk to your group on, you know, on, that's related to this. I go, you know, we don't really know you, so why don't you like wait a while, you know, because we don't know who you are. And you might know things, you might have your own experience, you might have the East Coast versus West Coast view, you might just know more neck physiology than somebody else, and yeah, well, thanks, but we don't know who you are, so we're going to ignore you. What do you think about that?
Mm. That's a good question. I think there's a balance around if people don't know you, then like that's legit. We've got a bunch of people who come in and out of the scene all the time, all the time. And so somebody who's around once or twice, who's like, I'm this and I'm that. I'm like, but I don't know you. I don't know how good you are or not. So there's going to be a little bit of a barrier. But what I love is, at least it used to be, and I still operate this way, you check out people. Who do you know? Who's somebody? Do you have references? Did you present up, you know, through Good Vibes or through Jana Society? You're like, who's somebody that I can ask who you are? And ideally, I'll ask for like two or three people. Then I'll go in FetLife and see if there's any overlap, and then I'll go check the person out because I don't want to keep people out who are really good. Because sometimes in smaller areas, there's the experience pool can be kind of small, and so it's actually really important to get people from other places to come in and to teach. But understand if you're coming into a new place, and at this point, I'm just going to be very real. If somebody is a white male, I have a little bit more of a barrier than if somebody is a person of color. If they are, especially if they're coming at me with like, you should just know who I am, or I've been around, like I'm gonna go through a little more vetting than I would otherwise. So just know that. And more organizations are like, we're trying to center different people now. But I think if you're a cool person, and this is like I said, when I came into the scene, I watched for 6 months, I went to classes, I like tried to meet people, and it was worth it. Like I developed really cool relationships and people knew who I was, and so they'd give me a shot. So I encourage people like, come around, come to a few different things. And if we get the sense that you seem really cool and thoughtful and you know all sorts of neck physiology, I'd be like, he seems really cool. Why don't we give him a shot at a class? I do a lot around thresholds. The group in Fresno, I love that group. They're really cool up there. Those are probably my two favorite places to do stuff.
I think it's okay to have a sort of a casual skepticism of new people. I think that's how that's how as a woman you don't get killed on a daily basis.
Right. In a dumpster.
In certain situations. Yep. Just to have a casual skepticism about people. I also think, like, I've seen, this always makes me think of, this guy came to Dark Odyssey for the very first time and no one knew him. Like, we asked everyone, we're like, who is this guy? And not a single person knew him. And it was a clothing optional event and he wore, for the entire 5 days, socks and white sneakers and a fanny pack. And so we called him Fanny Pack Jim, because his name was also Jim. And I was like, wow. how's this going to go? And what happened was he, like, for like the first 4 days of the event, he just totally hung back. He talked to people, he watched, and then he sort of got the courage up to go ask someone to play. And he was like super polite and respectful and like studied the orientation materials. And then that dude got laid left and right.
By popcorn.
Okay, like Fanny Pack Jim got so much action and came back, you know, year after year after year after year. And I was like, okay, so what is it about Fanny Pack Jim? Because he's not traditionally attractive or like have, you know, he doesn't have a level of charisma that is sort of palpable. And he is wearing a fanny pack and white sneakers. And that could be a turnoff. Okay,
like
just
Folsom, like every like, just, image at Folsom.
Yes, yeah. Like how did Fanny Pack Jim get like so Cochrane. Much action? And I feel like how he got so much action was actually really thoughtful. He just listened, mm-hmm. watched, he went to the classes, mm-hmm. he like soaked it all in, got the vibe of the world that he was in, this mm-hmm. new world, figured out the rules, mm-hmm. and then followed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
more power to him.
Right.
That's what I gotta say. Hi, if you're listening, Fanny Pack Jim, I still love you. I miss you.
Fanny Pack Jim.
True story.
That's a great story.
I love Fanny Pack Jim.
Dude, got so much.
He needs to make a leaflet or something and like pass it out.
Hi.
Wow, I'm tall. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I feel like I'm in the beginning of a fanny pack gym kind of situation.
Right.
Oh.
Because I'm actually a newcomer. I haven't even started yet, but I am going to workshops and getting into community because I really want to learn. I really want to figure things out. Starting like a 5-year journey to kind of like figure out who I am and whatnot. And I came in here expecting to, you know, learn more. But what I seem to be learning right now, what the message that I'm getting is that I should be skeptical of what I'm learning. I should be able to figure things out on my own. But that's just not working for me. It's like, who do I trust now? What can I trust? What kind of base should I have to build on like what I'm picking up and what I'm learning?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I think like skeptical is good, but don't throw out everything that you've already learned. Like it's real and it's valid and it's good. But we do have to not just blindly trust and kind of keep our wits about us. And especially as a new person, I think it's really important to, like you said you're already doing, try out different spaces, different places, different people, and see the differences in the vibe and where you feel most comfortable, and trust your gut on that, for sure.
We have to take another commercial break. This was such a great audience, and they asked really thoughtful questions and generated such a lively discussion. You're going to hear more when we come back, so stay with us.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. An audience member asked a question about being a newcomer to the BDSM scene, how to go about it, and the panelists continue to respond. Let's listen.
Because you can take as many workshops on things that you're not really sure of. You're like, I kind of like that. But until you start kind of diving into certain things, like, it might not even be true to who you are, you know, and what your needs are. It sounds like you're pretty green in all of it. Like, you're trying to sort it all out. And I think it's a good, it's scary and it's exciting mm-hmm. at the same time, mm-hmm. you know? If you can find a person that you've been watching, who's been going to the workshops, that you can lean towards, you know, just observe them and find a way to make conversation with them.
I was gonna say, also finding like a road dog, somebody else who's on the same journey as you, and you guys can do it together and bounce like ideas and suggestions off of each other. Mm-hmm. It really helps to have another person there for the accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'm going to a party.
Can I clarify something? Like, so is it that like we're saying, you know, question these leaders and the people who are prominent and the people who are being held up as teachers, like they all might be bad apples. And so now are you concerned like, wait, I sort of thought if they were teaching and their name was on, you know, on the lineup, they are probably know what they're doing. And now you're telling me maybe they don't or they're bad. Is that part of the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
It's also kind of like, you know, like, like, we say that we want, like, we say, like, there's these rules, there's these things that should be happening, but the culture does not reflect that. And as newcomers, like, so should I rely on the rules and then have the culture reject me? Or should I, like, kind of bend a little what I've, like, learned from, like, orientation, from like, workshops, just so I can, like, fit into the culture?
Okay. So, I think one thing I want to... There's no monolith. Like, there's no, you know, all educators are suspect or all educators are perfect. BDSM is a complex world. And at the same time that you have phenomenal people and phenomenal staff and phenomenal possibilities for new people as well as people who've been around, like, that's all true. And then there's, like, the more difficult stuff. And they're coexisting. Mm-hmm. So it can feel a little, like, overwhelming of, like, which is true. They're both true. And the thing is, like, with certain practices, like, you can navigate it. That I'm a big fan of, like, it sounds like you're going to classes, you're going to munches. One of my favorite books is Playing Well with Others. Like, I think it's a phenomenal book. So just, like, keep showing up and keep trusting yourself. I love the idea of having another person to go along with these things, go along to events and stuff with you. But it's not one or the other. That, like, any culture, you know, you go to France, like, you're gonna find some amazing people, and then some people where you're like, wow, not so cool. So you're entering into this new culture, and so there's going to be a mixture. But if you keep doing, going to workshops, being a cool person, going to munches, and then doing your own reading and reflection, that over time will absolutely get you what you're looking for, which will be whatever it ends up being for you.
Right, if the core, I remember picking up a book, you know, in my teens about SM, and I was like, this is amazing. And then there's leather, get out, this is hot, right? And I remember reading books then, flash forward 10 years, and then another 5, and another 10 years, all these different books have all the same core. How they're introduced is different, generation from generation. There are things that like start to evolve as our language, as our society evolves. But the core of it is still there. You know, safe, sane, consensual has been going on forever. Also, play at your own risk has been going part on forever. Forever. So, you know, the things, the discipline, the submission, you know, the fetishes, these all kind of go in. And finding yourself in that with those core beliefs, you know, in about 3 years, it's going to look so different for you. Mm-hmm. You know, in about 6 months, it's going to look different for you then, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess don't have heroes or, like, idols. Just mm-hmm.
Have peers. And
have peers. Have peers. Because those core things will start to open up in you.
Does that help a little bit, or at least situate it?
Well, but the one problem that I'm seeing is that we have core beliefs, but these core beliefs don't seem to be enough, because we have these beliefs. I'm pretty sure everybody has these beliefs, but then it's still creating a culture that's just not working. There's, like you say, no accountability and no, like, I guess, like, way of caring for the victims. So it's like I know that I should know the core beliefs, but should I also know, like, more than that?
Aaron, yeah. But go up to the mic.
Sure. My favorite spot. Okay. So if I can, I would just I have a lot of very strict boundaries in my own life, outside of whatever scene I'm in, just with friends, with acquaintances, with colleagues. I've upped my boundaries. So, you know, there's people you meet, you know, in regular life or at a bar or at an event that you're like, ooh, I really vibe with that person. And there's other people you meet where you're like, I don't know, I'm not fully vibing with that person. So I would just kind of apply that same rule to the scene, so to speak, mm-hmm. just because it's a specific scene with, you know, protocol and guidelines and things. Yeah. You should not adjust what you're doing in regular life with people. Like, apply that same principle, you know? I would just go in with a healthy, this person is revered by people or has these titles, but they're still a human being. So how would I react to them if I met them at a friend's party? Right. I would just get to know them and then make a decision. You know, I won't full on trust. Here's all of my trust to this person before I get to know them, you know? So it's just whatever you do normally with meeting people, mm-hmm. same system applies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basic courtesy.
And
goodbye.
So we're going to make that the last question. I'm not going to make myself having the last word, but I do want to say, I think the difference between sex positive communities and the culture at large, like, part of what's happening is we were all raised in this larger society, which is deeply entrenched in white supremacy and oppression, right? So none of us are free of that. I think the difference in sex positive communities is that we are having conversations. We are trying to, you know, put forth our missions. We are trying to create safer spaces. I feel like in some ways, like, we fall into these patterns that the rest of society has fallen into, but we also break them. You know what I mean? We break them. And so because we're having the conversation, I think that gives us a leg up in that, like, we're not ignoring what's happening. We're not ignoring the reality of what's happening, right? But I want to give you guys the last words. So last words.
No pressure.
Last words.
Last words.
Be smart. No. Go. Kidding.
So I wanted to make the suggestion that
that sometimes you don't necessarily need a mentor, but you mentioned like road dog idea earlier, but also this idea that you could have some in the middle where maybe you recognize someone that, hey, I think you're pretty cool and I don't want to be in a relationship with you. I don't want to play with you. I don't want to cross those lines. I just want to go to events together. I just want your advice. I just want your insight on things because you've been around for a decade and I haven't. So maybe you can give me some insight. And the issue is when you cross that line and your mentor is your partner now, mm-hmm. or your road dog becomes your partner, that can get real messy because they have this power that you don't have.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. I completely agree with that. Don't cross the streams. I think just to go back to what I said earlier, that we are engaging in a new level of conversation with the fact that Me Too is hit and that here we are. These things are real and they're happening. And our culture is, it's not a great culture when it comes to sex. And it's not a great culture when it comes to kink and marginalized identities. There's a lot of violence in this culture. And at the very same time, this is a culture of innovation. And I think the best innovation is happening in sex-positive communities, and it is happening in queer, particularly queer POC groups. Like, that's where new stuff is flourishing and new things are being forged, and it's exciting. And that's what I want people to cling to. Like, can we keep imagining something different and better? And can we, like, work in community with people, like, staying connected to ask those questions and to forge something new and different? And I don't think that that's impossible. I think it's going to be hard and raw, but I don't think it's impossible.
I have to agree with Jamila. You know, if like anybody who is here in this room, anybody who's listening to what the conversations that we had is, keep having conversations and keep that movement. Like, that's the best way I can, that's the last words I could have.
Absolutely. Yeah,
keep the conversation.
Yeah.
Circling back to Smokey.
Hi. I remember what I was going to say, and it was, you were talking before about how there's the perception that in, like, in the sex positive, in the kink community, we have more of these issues, and it's not necessarily that we have more of them, it's that we're talking about it more. And that's actually a good thing. Mm-hmm. We need to keep talking about it, we need to talk through it and work through it and get past it. So that's kind of the takeaway that I wanna leave everyone here with, is that, like, let's keep this conversation going. Mm-hmm. And let's work it out together. None of us are perfect and none of us have the answers just yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
Generation.
Thanks to all of you for being a great audience, and thanks to my panelists. Stick around, I want to do a picture before we leave so that we prove that we were here.
Thanks so much for listening to this important conversation. I really would love to know your thoughts, your questions, your comments. You can always email me at tristan@puckerup.com, tweet us at sexoutloudradio, or call our 24-hour voicemail at 323-SEX-8266. That's 323-SEX-8266. You can find Jamila Dawson online at jamiladawson.com, on Twitter at Jamila_Dawson, on Instagram at Everyday Erotic, and on Facebook at Jamila Dawson. You can find Pony Lee on Twitter at Pony_Lee_. On Instagram at PonyLee1102 and on Facebook at PonyLeeEstrange. Find Pony's hair salon Folklore at salonfolklore.com. Dyke Day LA is on Instagram and Facebook at Dyke Day LA. You can find the group Obsidian, which Smokey is a founding member of, on Facebook at Obsidian LA and on Instagram at Obsidian_LA. Learn more about the Pleasure Chest at thepleasurechest.com, on Twitter at PleasureChestLA, on Instagram at PleasureChestStores, and on Facebook at TPCLA. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, my editor Chris Zycheg, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, you can find me on social media at Tristan Terramino. You can find the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio and online at sexoutloudradio.com.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Terramino on Voice America Variety.